Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Big night tonight in the NBA. Two play-in games. It's certainly the more intriguing of the four tonight. I guess we have one in the East that's good. I think I would have appreciated maybe a little bit of a stagger. But I guess I could just ignore Hawks Bulls. Pretty easy to do that. Nick Friedell is an Odyssey NBA insider. Insider Call is brought to you by the new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, equipped for adventure, joins us every Tuesday, joins us now. Nick, what's happening, man?
Guys, we won't be alone if we're ignoring Hawks Bulls.
I feel like it has been Hawks Bulls every, the last 10 years in the play-in. I feel like that's just what it's been.
That is the play-in game that deserves to be on NBA TV.
Yes.
It's like when you're breaking down the schedule and you're like, okay, what do I want to see? Oh, Warriors, Kings, that'll be good. So, Lakers and Pelicans, sure. LeBron is into it, okay. Hawks, Bulls, yeah, that one's going on NBA TV, if only.
So, Nick, this is something we've discussed. Didn't intend to go here first, but I will since we're talking about it. So, will the play-in always be this good, right? Because I'm making the argument that what happens when the Stephs and LeBrons aren't in it? You've got this Philly team that could make a run. Are we going to get, you know, 2, 3, 4 years from now where it does feel like it's all Atlanta, Chicago type? Is this thing going to stay as good as it's been, you know, in coming years? What do you think?
Hell no.
Right.
And I couldn't agree with you more. And I take it a step farther and say, look, if you have the play-in in the last couple of years at various points, and hell, we could see it again next couple days, but if it's Steph versus LeBron, great. Right. I mean, that's great for the league. It's great for fans. It's great for everybody because people want to watch that. The second Steph and LeBron go out of the league, guys, I think the NBA is going to have a real problem because those are kind of the last two guys that the casual person is interested in day by day. And I know we've touched on it over the last few weeks during our time, but Ja was supposed to be that guy. And you know, maybe he can get back that level. Who knows? There are a lot of different factors at play. What we do know is Steph and LeBron are those guys. And for various reasons, they have landed in the play-in now several times. Yep. So, I think that the play-in is a good idea right now. But when those guys go, and I would say not only the play-in, but the NBA Cup, the in-season tournament, whatever the hell they're calling it moving forward, I don't see the appetite for a national fan base within that if, again, LeBron in this case over that last run makes it. Because I don't see people lining up to watch, for example, Magic Jazz in the in-season tournament cup. It just doesn't make you really want to lock in like these couple of playing games tonight do.
Yeah, I think that's true of I think it's true of the play-in. I think it's true of the NBA at large, right? I mean, when you're talking about stars, you know, the ones we know and have known for the last 15, 20 years, Steph, LeBron, et cetera, when they sort of sunset and they move on, I mean, yes, there are stars that are waiting in the wings, but it feels like they're not on the same sort of caliber, I guess, of LeBron and Steph. So I think that's just a discovery process that the NBA, like, can Tatum hold the mantle? He's going to be in that next wave. I don't know, Nick. I'll watch because I just love basketball. But when we're talking about America, you know, is it going to be Luka? Is he going to be the face of the league? I don't know.
Well, and I think that's the thing that the NBA has got to try and figure out, because these are all question guys that are, they're right below the surface. I mean, for all the hype that tonight we'll get and people are excited about the playoffs, reality is, the Lakers and the Warriors just aren't very good. And those two teams have carried so much weight for the NBA for so long. And with Steph and LeBron, who knows? I mean, they could always add another piece and rev it up one more time. But I think the very safe bet is neither one of those guys is going to get another title. So that means that neither one of those guys is going to play in a lot of very big games much longer moving forward. So there are a lot of different issues, but I just couldn't agree more. When you start looking at who's coming behind them, it just doesn't feel like the NBA has a real strong answer. Now, there always is somebody that you're not thinking of. I mean, nobody thought Steph Curry was going to be the guy he became, but he started knocking down all those shots. The Warriors got really popular. Who knows? I just feel like when you look at the NBA, it's just headed towards where baseball is right now, and to a lesser extent where hockey is, in that it's very big in the city in which you live.
Right,
Grizzlies fans are always going to care about the Grizzlies. Magic fans in Orlando, where I grew up, always going to care about the Magic. But it just doesn't feel like people are going out of their way to consume the national product. And I mean, we could talk all day about this, but I think that's the real big issue that's staring the NBA in the face.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely right. All right, in terms of the strategy tonight for the Los Angeles Lakers, I'm not suggesting that they would say, we're not going to try to win this game. But I think maybe they should, because we know what it looks like against the Denver Nuggets. We know how outmatched they are against the Denver Nuggets. Now, my partner points out, and I think he's right, I mean, you want to win tonight because you want to get the maximum amount of rest. For an old team, rest means everything. But how would you play this? Do you just go all out for the win if you're the Lakers? Do you take your chances? Hey, we're down 15 with 6 minutes left. You know, like how do you play this from a strategic standpoint if you're the Los Angeles Lakers tonight?
I think you've got to play to win and get in the dance.
Absolutely.
And if you do that, let the chips fall where they may. Now, guys, let's be real. They're not beating the Nuggets.
Nope.
that's not going to happen. And they've got to kind of figure their way through that. But at the same time, if you're running LeBron James out there at the stage of his career that he's at, and you say, okay, LeBron, we got to win this one. You're not worrying about what may happen a couple days from now. You have got to play to win tonight, because that's what you know is in front of you. And you never hope for injuries for anybody, of course, but you just never know. I mean, on paper, the Nuggets would walk all over any one of these teams. But if somebody gets hurt, we've seen it plenty of times before. I lived it in Chicago. In those Derrick Rose years, you just don't know what's going to happen game to game. So if you're the Lakers, you play for tonight, you hope for the best. If you are down really large late, that could change the thinking a little bit. But as far as going into the game, you're playing to get in now.
With the Warriors tonight, Nick, I'm curious where you're at. We discussed them a little bit last week in terms of how much Draymond means to them. I was listening to Wendy this morning. My partner asked me a question that sort of got me thinking about Wendy's answer. But it asked me, could we be watching the end of it tonight if they lost to the Kings, the end of the dynasty? Wendy made the point that, and I'm curious if you agree, you know, what they're going to have to do is move off of Chris Paul. Now, I don't know, that $30 million he's got due next year, I don't know how that happens. But his point was, you do that, You get Clay to take a pay cut, right? He's a free agent. You know, you're not making 40 next year. And maybe you save yourself 40, 50 million there, and you go back at it with this core. You try it one more time. Do you think that's how it goes, whether it ends tonight or somewhere else in the playoffs here this year? Do you think next year it's giving that core retooled another run at it? Do you think that's how it looks?
I think that's the best course of action for the Warriors. But I say that, and I don't really think there's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, this is a reality. When the bill comes due,
that's right.
When you win, and I've always called it the bonus title, because I don't feel like so many people within the Warriors organization, I mean, I covered that team for the first half of that year before I went and covered the Nets in Brooklyn. Nobody thought the Warriors were going to win a title that year. They just came together. Steph was awesome. They got contributions from a bunch of different guys up and down the roster, and it happened. But then you had to pay Wiggins, and that deal looks just awful right now. Clay's deal was just kicking in. He's just not the same player he was, even though he's still beloved out there. Draymond, of course, has had the issues that he's had staying on the floor. So, like everything else in pro sports, especially in the NBA, there are reasons why. There are usually a lot of them. But if you're the Warriors and you still have Steph playing at this incredibly high level and you have the salary cap situation that you're in, I don't really see any other better play for them, especially because that core is so comfortable playing with one another.
Yep.
And on top of that, you have Steve Kerr, who just redid his deal, so he's there for at least a couple more years. I'd be surprised if this is the end, but the caveat there is it might be the end already.
Right.
Because the reality is we judge the Warriors, like any great team, on how many titles they win. We're not worried about whether they get out of the play-in or they upset somebody in the first round. You're judging them on titles. And this team right now, as great as Steph is, isn't good enough to win another title as currently constructed.
We are, of course, talking to Nick Friedell here on the show, Odyssey NBA Insider. Insider calls brought to you by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, equipped for adventure with capable features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating. We talked about Hawks, Bulls. That's about as much, I think, as they deserve. 76ers Heat, I got to tell you, Nick, I love to bet on the NBA because I'm an absolute sicko, okay? It's like driving a motorcycle out of a helicopter. There's nothing, there's just really nothing quite like it. And I want to bet the 76ers. I do. But I'm obviously against the Heat, -4.5. But there's something that I don't know if it's just the PTSD from the series a couple of years ago, just how the 76ers have looked in these spots. But is this fair? Am I just seeing Doc Rivers ghosts? And this is a new 76ers team. They've been one of the best, you know, in the league the last couple of weeks since Embiid came back.
It would scare the hell out of me in any playoff or postseason play-in scenario to bet against Miami. But I say that, and I say I understand completely where you're coming from. I get
right.
it. I mean, Philly has looked good, and the Heat, you just don't know night to night who's going to show up. But with Jimmy and Bam and that group with Spoelstra, I would struggle to bet against them in any spot where they really needed to win and needed to find a way. And with the history between at least Jimmy and Embiid and them wanting to stay together and then Jimmy leaving Philly, he always seems to rise to the occasion when he needs to, but there's nothing that's shown, guys, that they're going to be able to do it right now. But just when you count Miami out, it always seems to be when they reappear. So as I tell all my close friends when they text me and they say, oh, what do you think about this or that? I say, do not touch the NBA. It's never that easy. I've just watched for way too many years up close to think, oh, it's going to be different now. I mean, you go in and you say, hey, what the hell? Let's see what happens. But as far as tonight, tomorrow night, I am really, really curious to see how Miami looks in that kind of spot against a team that has built some momentum.
Yeah, like I watched the Heat against the 76ers. I guess it was maybe a couple of weeks ago in Miami. And I don't think Embiid played in that one, but Maxey was in. And it was one of those games where it was like, okay, I think the Miami was obviously playing for some seeding and a chance to get out of the play-in. And, you know, they look so uninspired, Nick. And it felt like, here we go again. A, it's either going to be Rozier taking all these shots. Now, I don't think Hero was in, so I should say that. But it was a lot of Rozier step-back threes at the shot clock buzzer. Or please, Jimmy, please bail us out of this situation. And it's like, how many years do you expect to be able to get, you know, to rely on that to get you where you want to be, right?
Yeah, the bubble has to burst at some point. And maybe we're in the moment where it finally does for Miami. I mean, guys, we're sitting there laughing at Bulls Hawks again. But think about this. I mean, I think people largely forgot this as Miami just kept rolling teams in the playoffs last year. The Bulls were up in that game with just a few minutes left in that play-in game a year ago in Miami. So it could have been the Bulls that got absolutely destroyed by Milwaukee. The Heat win because Jimmy makes some big plays late. And then they turn around and just dominate the Bucks. So you just don't know. It doesn't feel like they have any kind of momentum now. Certainly not close to where they were in the postseason last year. But again, if you're betting on coaches, and you mentioned Doc and the PTSD of Philadelphia and how that just kind of imploded last year in the end, if you were betting on one coach in the postseason, you'd be hard-pressed to bet against Eric Spoelstra. That guy, no matter who is on the floor for that team, always seems to get the most out of what he's got in the moment. And that's a credit to what he's built and that culture that he instilled with Pat Riley a long, long time ago. So Miami is Miami. They just don't look right. Jimmy looks like a guy who is really on the edge of still being in the prime if he's still there right now. But they have the track record of pulling together when they need to.
It's interesting as we just sort of go around the playoffs. Clippers-Mavs is one of those series that's really, really intriguing. And despite the fact that the Clippers have home court advantage in this series, the Mavericks are actually favored in the series price. Granted, minus 120 to even money, but still favored. Do you think maybe the Clippers and Ty Lue are being undervalued here against the Mavs?
I think they could be, but it's always the same story with the Clippers. Is Kawhi going to be healthy? Right. Is he going to make it through the entirety of that series? How about Paul George? Guys I watched firsthand several years, I mean, we all have, but James Harden, in the big moments, he's just gone. I mean, like, he'll have like a 40-point game in game one, and then where did he go? You know, what's happening? So I don't believe in the Clippers. I'm still not believing in Dallas as a title contender by any stretch. But in this series, with the way they played in the second half, really in the last 6 to 8 weeks or so, I think, at least for now, Vegas has it right. I just don't believe that if you're the Clippers, that all the pieces that you need to fall into place can against a very talented team, specifically a guy like Luka. So I like the intrigue of the series. I'm very curious to see how it plays out. But I would have to think, I know it seems like they're going to run it back one more time or for another couple of years, but I just don't buy the Clippers on the whole because there are too many question marks for a team that was built to win right away, and that was a few years ago now. It still hasn't happened, and I'm not seeing it happen at this stage either.
Hey, Nick, great stuff every week, man. We
appreciate these
you.
Hits, Nick.
Thank you.
Great stuff.
Guys, enjoy being with you every time. I'll talk to you next week.
Yep, sounds good. He is Odyssey NBA Insider Nick Friedell. Insider Calls brought to you by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, equipped for adventure.